Praise the Lord. I was thinking on the way over here, if we'd have just slowed down just a little bit. Brother Marco, well, Marco might have taken this load from me. I messed up my timing. I didn't get my timing right today. I'm trying to slow down just a little bit. I said, they probably done some. Then I said, no, we going to New Restoration. Pastor Tanya probably done got the choir to sing 5 songs. She works us. She's going to work us when we come. She's going to work us. But what an honor, what a privilege just to be here among my daughter and my daughterettes and sonettes and all those. I just thank God for the honor just to be here. You know, those of y'all that know me know I don't, you know, really venture out too far. I'm too pretty, kind of conservative. So when Pastor Tanya asked me to cover her, I said, I don't cover nobody. But I prayed about it, and God says, you have to. You have to, because of the seed that I'm planting in this ministry. This is good ground. This is good ground. And this seed is going to explode. I'm talking about absolutely explode. It's such a good word. You know, the Bible says this. It says, despise not small beginnings. It's not how big or how small you are. It's the quality. It's the excellence that you put into what you do. You have to create a system. You have to create anything that you do for God. You have to, if it's done in order and in excellence, God's going to put his seal of approval on it, and it's going to grow. It cannot help but grow. And I love Pastor Tanya because she does so, everything she does with such excellence. And let me tell you something. She says she's going to do something. Don't blink too long. Because, you know, while you're getting yourself together, well, trying to decide if you're going to help and come on board, you got to go pray about it and fast and fleece the Lord. She done already got it done, y'all. I'm telling you. It's going to happen. She gonna make sure it happens because she's going to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. So I love her. I thank God for just asking me back to come once again and just share a word with you and just hopefully be a blessing. I thank God for the City of Faith. Y'all are awesome. Lovely wife, you know. She's a distraction. I'm telling you, she is a distraction to me today. So y'all pray for me because she's so beautiful. Lord have mercy.
Come on now.
We've been right along. But I do want to know, where do I get one of them customized New Restoration face masks you got on? I don't know why I don't have one yet. I need to find one of them customized new. Isn't that beautiful? She's rocking that. You know she's going to be matching. You know she ain't going to wear nothing but a purple dress with a purple face mask. It's got to be coordinated. So it's so, I mean, it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So thank y'all. Let's stand on a feet. I want to read a scripture, and then we're gonna. I want to share a word with you, and then we're gonna let God do what He do, and then we're gonna hop on the bus. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God just to be here today. We're gonna be looking at Acts chapter 8, and starting at verse 1 of Acts chapter 8, giving honor to all the ministers, elders, clergy, those I know, don't know. Thank God for being here. It's an honor to be in your presence. I was thinking about you, Pastor Tanya, and also you too, Sister D, when Piccadilly's closed. I said, what are y'all going to do? I said, what in the world are they going to do? Did she get sick? I was concerned. Oh my God. I was wondering what was going to happen. God bless. Oh, geez. I think you closed them down. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read just verse 1 through verse 8 of Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The city. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and they that were healed, were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I'm going to look back in verse 4. The Bible says, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. I want to use as a topic this afternoon, scatter me. Scatter me. Scatter me. I want to talk to you because I think we as a church, we really have to know where we are, what season we are in, and what God is doing. And believe me, I don't proclaim to know everything that God is doing in this season, but I try to pray and be sensitive and listen. Bible says, he that has an ear, let him hear. And if you open your eyes, you can see things that are happening supernaturally. You can see things that are happening that are destined and revealed by the scriptures that God promised that he would do. And one thing that we have to come to the reality to know that God promised that was going to come to the church was persecution. The church has gone through seasons of blessings. We've gone through seasons of prosperity. We've gone through the prosperity movement. We've gone through the signs, wonders, healing, and miracles. We've gone through the word of faith movement. We've gone through all these different movements of the church. But one thing that is consistent with the prophetic word of God is that we would be persecuted. The Bible says all that who live godly in Christ Jesus, what, will be persecuted. There's something that we're going to have to go through as a church body collectively and as individuals that call ourselves Christians. It's not popular today because most of us know that we live in a society that is very narcissistic, very self-serving, that doesn't really want to be inconvenienced. Matter of fact, we want our problems to be short. We want our persecution. If God, you're going to persecute me, let's get this over with because I got something else I got to do. And we don't like to be deprived for a long time of any modern inconveniences. We don't want to have to go without or have to suffer or have to struggle for any long period of time. And sometimes we feel like the things that we're going through now are almost going to break us. But if you compare these present day sufferings and struggles with what our forefathers did go through, what our grandmothers and great grandparents went through, it is very small in comparison to the horrendous troubles and strifes that our forefathers went through. But yet and still, we feel like some things are going to break us, even though we know the scripture promised us that God will never leave us comfortless, that he's always going to be there. Promised us in our word that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. So when you think about the church and you think about us being persecuted and the struggles that we go through, it is nothing more than a fulfillment of scripture, but it also gives God an allowance. It gives him an opportunity to show up in our life in an even greater measure, because you don't know God that's a defender until you have had reason to be defended, until God has had to fight for you. If you've never known a God that's been your defender that has had to fight for you when you couldn't fight for yourself, when you couldn't stand up for yourself, when you had to make a defense for yourself and you didn't even know who was actually coming against you. It's one thing to see the faces of people that are coming against you, but the Bible lets us know that we don't even wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood that's fighting against us. So you got to know the face behind the face. You got to know the spirit that's working behind the scenes. And we have to have discernment to know that even though I see what you're saying, I know it's only your mouth the devil is using to say it. And the enemy is systematically and strategically trying to wear out the saints of God. He's trying to paint an image that this is a problem that you're not going to be able to overcome. And he's trying to wear us down and get us depressed. And if he can, to get us fighting one another, trying to wear down our unity, get us to be divided and not to trust one another. Because the Bible says a house that is divided against itself cannot stand. We have to understand, and I was looking in the word of God, and I would remember in the book of Exodus chapter 1, And the children of Israel had endured a long season of prosperity and growth because they were blessed to have favor. They were blessed to have favor under Joseph. When Joseph was the second in command of Egypt, he blessed his people, and the people of Israel were blessed because of who they had on the inside that was able to give them access to things they would not have. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 that another king arose that did not know Joseph. Exodus chapter 1 verse 8, it says, there arose up another king over Egypt which did not know Joseph. And this happened at a time where the children of Israel had grown and multiplied, and they had occupied a lot of different territories in Egypt. So where it actually began to be to the place that the ratio of Egyptians to Hebrews was almost 50-50. And there were so many Egyptians, but there were so many more Hebrews that there began to be a fear in the land that what would happen if the Hebrews decided that they're going to insurrect, they're going to decide that they're not going to serve us anymore, they're going to decide that they want to do a takeover. So the Pharaoh began to get more aggressive and try to protect the nation of Egypt, to cause them to be afflicted, to cause them to be persecuted and scattered. But the problem was, the word of God reveals in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 1, the problem was of what was the more they afflicted them, the Bible says, the more they grew and the multiplied. The more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. And it says they were grieved because of the children of Israel. So the people that they thought were going to be a blessing to them wound up being a curse. They wound up being a threat to them. Because anytime, you have to know that anytime that you are afflicted, you are more of a threat to the enemy than you are, amen, a blessing. So you got to understand, when you get afflicted, when we get persecuted, that's when God does something in us. When God starts working something in us, and when God steps inside of us and starts becoming a defender, then you understand what the word of God says and means in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that we receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Anybody that's messed with you has messed with the wrong person, period. It doesn't matter that you ain't had your best week. It doesn't matter that you ain't said your prayers every day, that you haven't read your Bible religiously every day. As long as you are the anointed of God, the Bible says, touch not thine anointed, do thy prophets no harm. Many of us can witness to the fact that when you took your hands off of stuff and you just let God fight your battles, you know how you came out on top? You remember how God fought for you? You remember how God fought your battles and you were able to come forth victorious? I believe in my life, and I know for sure that my biggest victories, I didn't have to lift a finger. My biggest victories, I didn't have to go to court. I didn't have to threaten anyone. I didn't have to go through the normal channels. All I had to do was tell God on them. All I had to do was tell God who was fighting against me, and he already knew. But we have to understand, God wants the opportunity to fight for his children. He wants to stand strong and show you who he is and how strong he is, and he can fight on your behalf. And so you fast forward to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 8, we see that now the Holy Ghost has begun to fall. The Holy Ghost fell in Acts chapter 2. First fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it fell to a group of Jews. It fell up to this point. It had only fallen to the Jews. And the Jews now began to know, amen, a relationship with Christ that they did not know, because now they had the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. They had power, according to Acts 1 and 2, that he did not know before. And then over in Acts chapter 4, we read about the Holy Ghost falling when Peter was preaching, and there became another room, another movement, and then the Spirit of God began to multiply, and the church began to multiply. But up until Acts chapter 8, it was only Jews. Now in Acts chapter 8, you read, amen, now the multitude began to be mixed, and more people began to receive the preached word of God. And now the Bible says that the apostles, up until this point, the apostles understood that the gospel was only to be preached to the Jews. And so the church was now being persecuted by a man named Saul, who eventually became Paul. And Saul persecuted the church as much as he possibly could. They had just killed Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Now they were going after the greater church. They were going after the believers that were at Jerusalem, which was, at that time, was kind of the mothership of the church. That was the beginning. And the church at Jerusalem began to be persecuted in the worst way, and Saul was the ringleader. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, that when they persecuted the church at Jerusalem, the church began to actually scatter. But there's something very interesting in verse 1. It says, they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In other words, all the preachers and all the deacons and all those that were not the leadership of the church began to be scattered, but the apostles stayed where they were. The apostles stayed put. So when we read about the move of God in the book of Acts, we think it's the apostles that caused the explosive growth of the church, but it was not. It was the persecution of the church, because the apostles stayed back at Jerusalem. And as the church began to be persecuted, the Bible is very clear that they scattered abroad everywhere, preaching the word of God. In other words, as they were scattered, they weren't running in fear. They were running in boldness, because they felt like there was a door open to them, that they began to proclaim the word of God in greater places and other places that they did not have the opportunity. One thing you got to understand, anytime the devil messes with you, it creates an opportunity in your life, amen, to fight for God. It creates an opportunity in your life to proclaim the gospel in ways that you did not know. If we always stay in the church, and if we were still in the church every day like we were in 2019, then I don't believe the word of God would be growing and multiplying like it is today. I don't believe people would be hearing the preached and taught word of God today. I don't believe men and women would be coming to the church saying, "What must I do to be saved?" What the devil thought he was going to do was stop the growth of the church and to quench the flow of the Spirit. But what he did, he awakened a monster. He hit on a fact, a proven fact that's proven throughout history, that whenever you try to stop God's church, it's going to grow and it's going to multiply, and more people are going to be led to God. And the reason many of us are here today is because somebody else was persecuted, and in their downtime, they told you about a God that did things for them that they can do for you. Many of us are proven fact that it was somebody else's testimony that led you to Christ, and God did something for somebody else, and you say, I want that. I wonder if what God did for you, he can do for me. And now we stand today as a direct witness that God is still working, that God is still moving, and he's not done doing what he said he was going to do in your life. So the Bible says they begin to be scattered. And then it says in verse 5 that Philip went down and preached the word of Christ unto them. And now something interesting was taking place. Now it wasn't just the Holy Ghost dropping. The Bible says that signs and wonders begin to fall on the people, because it says the people with one accord listened and gave heed to what Philip was saying, because they were hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Well, let me say that again. They saw the miracles which he did. When the church was persecuted, that's when the church started working miracles. That's when the blind started seeing. That's when people started being raised from the dead. And guess what? The apostles were nowhere around. It was the people that decided, "I know what I believe in. I believe in Jesus Christ and him alone." Sometimes we don't think we can make a move until the bishop comes in. We don't think we can make a move until the apostle says so. But God is raising up a church that's not concerned about a title. God is raising up a church that does not need a prophet and apostle, as long as God's got a willing mind and somebody ready to stand flat-footed and say, "For God I live and for God I die." God is raising up a people that will boldly declare the word of God. The reason you had to go through what you went through is God trying to open your mouth and trying to get you to declare what you would not declare last year, what you would not declare until you went to hell and back. God had to take you to hell and back to open your mouth and say, "I need somebody to speak for me and to preach for me." God had to do some things that you would not do in your, I don't care how many sermons you hear, I don't care how many people encourage you and pat you on the back, I don't care how many people send you a text or a post and tell you it's going to be okay. Sometimes you just got to go through some things you would not do until you have hurt a little bit, until you cried a little while, until you've gone through some things, until you've gone without. There's some things you wouldn't do now if COVID-19 was not here. But many of us are sitting in a house and saying, as soon as I can get free, as soon as I can take this mask off, as soon as I can get out of this pandemic, oh, the devil ain't gonna know what hit him. Nashville ain't gonna know what hit him. Well, guess what? God says, I allowed you to go through what you're going through just so I can release you. The devil's trying to bind you. But everything the devil tried to do, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to turn it around for my good. Tell your neighbor, God is up to something. God is up to something. I love what was happening in the church. The Bible says unclean spirits begin to cry out in a loud voice. Amen. All because, and there was not an apostle around. Amen. Luke wasn't there. Matthew wasn't there. Mark wasn't there. There was not an apostle around. The big names were not there. These were just common lay folk that just believed in God. They were the Phillips. They that believed that if I can just pray and ask God to give me a help and give me a little bit of strength, that I believe what God did in Jesus' life, he would do for me. What God did for Paul, he would do for me. What God did for Andrew, he would do for me. What God did for Peter, he would do for me. And they begin to go forth. But now they're ministering to the Gentiles. Isn't that what it says? It says they began to be scattered everywhere preaching the word of God. And now it flip over in Acts chapter 11 and verse 19. It says something else. It says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen. You see, you can't touch God's anointing and something not good come out of it. The folks that were sitting around watching Stephen getting persecuted, the devil thought, well, if I can afflict Stephen, if I can show him what will happen to Stephen, then maybe that will scare them. Maybe that will shut them down and they'll know that they could be them next. But it worked the opposite. They began to be more bold. They began to be more determined because they saw as Stephen was taking his last breath, he was praising God. And they saw as Stephen, amen, was giving up his life to God, that God was fighting for him to the end. And they begin to be bolder. And the Bible says, now they begin to preach the word of God, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And they spake to the Grecians. And the Bible says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. This is what I got to tell you. God is about to explode his church. He's about to explode this ministry. He's about to explode something. Because I don't know if you realize or not, this church was birthed in a pandemic. This church was birthed in an idea that the enemy tried to curse. This church was birthed in a curse the enemy tried to loose just to stop the church. Pay very close attention to what is born out of a death threat. Pay very close attention to what is born out of what was supposed to be killed. This church was birthed out of what the devil tried to stop, because he knew if I can just stop this church from coming, I can cause men and women to be lost. So he tried. And I was praying and I heard the word of God just say that word to me more and more. Scattered. Many of us. And Pastor Tanya, you know what I'm talking about. You know what it's like to be scattered. You know what it's like not to fit anywhere. Anybody, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking. Anybody know what it's like not to fit anywhere, to have a gift but not a place to release it? Not to be able to fit where your gift is going to be most appreciated. Have you ever been scattered where you tried to operate and flow in what God told you to do? But as much as you try to walk in your anointing, the more people begin to persecute you and talk about your gift. The more the devil tries to shut you down. The more the devil tries to shut your mouth. It's not that you're not gifted. It's simply that God wants to scatter you into something greater. God's got a greater door for you than you can ever imagine. This is what the word of God means when Paul said it best. He says there's a great an effectual door open for me, but there are many adversaries. Wherever there is a door, there's going to be a devil. Wherever there's a devil, there's going to be a door. So you better make sure you know that God is for you. He needs more than the world against you. So God says, I understand that it feels uncomfortable to feel like you kind of a fish out of water. And it feels uncomfortable not to be accepted where you desire to be accepted. Not to fit where you always saw yourself fitting. Not to be accepted and not to be invited and not to be welcome where you always thought you would be. But this is exactly what God has always done through the church. He has scattered those just to get you out of your comfort zone. And he has put you around people that you would not even think that you would ever be around. And so God is building a church out of those that were scattered. God had to scatter you because he wanted to put you around people that have been scattered themselves. People that have been put out of society, out of their families, that have never been accepted. He says you know how to talk to those that feel like they have no home. You know how to give a home to the homeless and a heart to the heart. He knows, you know the heart of God, that you're going to handle the people of God, those that he sends to you, you're going to handle them with care and love. And so those that are scattered are going to find a place here. And every time the devil tries to mess, you better look out, because God is sure enough going to bless. Every time the devil tries to tear up what God is building up, tries to tear down what God is building up, I can promise you that something greater is coming out of the ashes. Just go ahead, listen. If one of my favorite artists, Christian artists, is 50 Cent. I'm sorry, let me take it back. But I get something from everybody. 50 Cent says something in the song. He says, if the roof's on fire, just let it burn. You talking about money, baby, I ain't concerned. Now somebody told me that, don't ask me about that. But what I'm, if the devil tries to come against this ministry in any way, don't you try to stand and fight for yourself. It will never be your own battle. If the roof is on fire, just let it burn. Don't be concerned, because God has got your back. And whatever the devil tries to burn down, God's going to build back greater. God is going to build back greater. He's going to build back greater. Because you've got an anointing of expansion on you. You've got an anointing of excellence on you. You've got an anointing of creation on you. And you are going to be living in an overflow, because God says, I am the creator and I have given you everything you need to make it. Said, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the people. Don't worry about what you don't know. I see the devil trying to tell you what you don't know. But it don't matter what you don't know. It's who you know. God says you know the right number. And the more you just take your hands off, I see you doing a whole lot of this. I see you doing a whole lot of this. I see the devil trying to work with some stuff, and you just stepping back. And you just stepping back. He says, okay. God, you see it. Okay. You take care of it, because I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to try to figure out. This ain't my battle. I'm not going to try to fight this battle. This ain't my battle to fight. I'm going to let God work. God, you put me here. God, you anointed me. God, you have ordained me. God, you put me in this place. And what God says, as much as I've done for you now, don't you think I won't take you to. I'm just going to take you from glory to glory. Let them talk about you. Let them laugh. Let them do whatever they want to do. Let them walk in and let them walk out. Don't chase nobody out the door. You just bless them coming in and bless them going out. But God says, I'm going to grow you. I'm going to season you. I have planted you here because you've got a motherly anointing, and you're going to help people get to where they need to be in God. Good to be scattered. It's good to be scattered. scatter. I know if we don't feel comfortable praying that prayer, but sometimes we need, Lord, scatter me. Wherever you want me to be, I need to get out of my comfort zone. I don't feel comfortable where I am, but that's a good thing. I feel like I'm kind of out of place, but that's a good thing. That means I got to trust God. I got to believe God. I got to wait on God. I got to hear God. God don't put you in a place. He's putting us in a place. Trust me, I know he's putting me in a place where I got to wait on him. I got to hear him. I got to listen to him. I got to wait on the voice of the Lord. I can't worry about my agenda, my timetable, my calendar. Don't matter anymore. I ain't going to even try to plan a calendar for 2021 because I don't know what God's going to do. But I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to wait on God. I'm just going to try to flow with where God is taking me. And that's where God's got us. See, we just got to listen. He says, he that has an ear, let him hear with the Spirit of the Lord. So God, scatter me. Because every time he scatters you, every time he scatters you, he's stretching you. Every time he scatters you, and I don't know if I'm talking, but every time he scatters you, he's stretching you. Every time it feels like he's trying to break you, he's actually expanding you. He's expanding your influence, your territory. He's expanding because this is about nations. This is about souls. This is about people that you would not even reach unless you were persecuted. Let me say that again. There's some folk that would not know Jesus unless you knew, amen, unless you had been persecuted, unless you had been afflicted. You wouldn't even open up your mouth. There's a scripture in Revelation. I think it's in Revelation chapter 12. It says, talks about overcoming. It simply says they overcame. And some of y'all know what it's like to overcome some stuff.
Right.
And it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But there's three things in that scripture that we sometimes admit. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but thank Christ for his blood. Thank Jesus Christ for his blood. We know that the blood still works. And we overcome by the word of our testimony. We love that. We love to give our testimony and share what God has done for us to other people. But it's that third thing sometimes we forget. It says they love not their lives unto the death. They love not their lives unto the death. And that's something we got to get a hold of in this season, because the devil is trying to come against us with problems and frustrations and persecutions that we have not known. Who has known COVID-19? Who has ever been through anything like we're going through right now? So we're going through stuff that we have not been accustomed to. But what God is doing, he's testing our love. He's proving our love. He wants to know. He's asking us, just like Jesus asked Simon Bar-Jonas, do you love me more than these? You got to love Jesus Christ in this day and this time. You got to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. Your agenda doesn't matter. Your plans don't matter. Your goals don't matter. Nothing you have put stock in this season, you got to put it all on the back burner and leave it to God and say, whatever you do, God, in this season, I love you more than my inconvenience. I love you enough not to have to try to find my own way. I love you, Lord, that even if it's inconvenient and it hurts for a while, I love not my life unto death. Actually, what that verse is saying is that even if this costs me my life, that's not a popular gospel today. That's not a popular thing to say. But we got to settle that in our mind that even if this costs me my life, even if I have to pay with my life the way Jesus paid with his life, he says this is what it's going to take to overcome. It's not that we have to, but we have to be ready to. And that's the way that we're going to know how God is moving and what God is doing. We got to lay down our lives. We got to lay down our agenda. You like got to lay down everything, your hang-ups, your attitudes, our personalities, our temper, our little mean ways, our destructive ways. We got to hang up all that stuff that has held us back for so long. We said, Lord, nothing's more important than what you want for my life. Lord, I know if I can lay down my life, as you said in the book of John, he says, any man that will come after me, you must take up his cross and follow me. If I'm willing to take up my cross, I know God is going to open doors. And I know God is going to do things. He's going to blow my mind. And I believe and declare that God is going to do something. has not been seen. Even on this side of town, somebody's gonna get the news. Something's happening up there on Glancy Street, up there in Goodlettsville. Something's happening up there. A new restoration, this new restoration church. And it's only because you just got a servant that's got the heart of God.
Amen.
That says yes.
Yes.
So yes. When you say yes, God says, I can use you. I want us to pray for just, can we stand on our feet? I just want to say a prayer. Vision that you have given her, for the spirit of excellence, for the anointing, for the oil that you poured upon this ministry, for the great work that you promised that you would do, and now you're showing yourself faithful to your promise.
Yeah.
We thank you today for the spirit that reigns in this house and for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for the honor to even cover this ministry, that you have even counted me worthy just to be able to step into this move. And Lord, we just pray, God, that as your servants, Lord God, that you would just bring us your will, show us your will, show us what you're doing in this season, that we don't miss the mark. We just pray and we just pray and we pray today, Lord God, that you would just seal this ministry, that you would just continue to show this ministry approved unto you with signs and wonder. Just pray for this great pastor, that you would give her strength. Give her strength to fight in the days ahead. Give her strength to know, Lord God, that you got her covered, that you're stronger, that he that is with her is more than the world against her. Give her the strength to know that you are able in everything that you promised that you would do. We pray these blessings in Jesus' name. She might not ask you to the week before or the night before, but you're going to say yes. You might as well get ready, because she just got such a grace upon her life. Who would not serve a pastor like this? Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your blessing that you are.